Our gospel today is from the sixth chapter of Luke, beginning with verse 20. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus looked up at his disciples and said to them, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who are weeping now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you and defame you and revile you in the name of the Son of Man. For surely your treasure is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what they did, that's what their ancestors did to the false prophets. But I say to you that can listen, love your enemy, and do good for those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. And if anyone strikes you on the cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone should take your coat away from you, do not withhold even your shirt. If anyone steals from you and takes your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. At this time, I'd like to invite the children to head out for a word for the children. Hannah's going to be leading it. What's the name of the book, Hannah? Some kind of birthday party.
It's about an alligator.
It's a birthday party about an alligator. Of course. What else would it be about? So they're just going to be right outside there in the comfy chairs. So on Friday night, I was in a conversation with the outdoor rec group about camping, amongst other things. I mean, we talked about canoeing and disc golf and all kinds of fun things. But it got me thinking, and so I'm wondering, have any of you been lucky enough to be on a camping trip where the weather went bad? Yeah. Either way too cold, maybe even snow, or way too hot and just miserable, or maybe you've been blessed enough to be on one where it started raining and dumping on you. Or maybe you were lucky enough to be on one where the mosquitoes and bugs were horrendous. How blessed could you be? I was thinking, when I think about kind of those kind of lucky camping trips, I think I must have been about 8 or 9, and living down in Texas, of course. If any folks that don't know me, you've probably recognize the Texas accent. Well, those that do know me recognize it too. But my dad and my brother and I, we love to fish. And so we went on a camping trip down Matagorda Island, which is kind of close, a little bit south of Galveston there on the Gulf of Mexico. And we had a great plan to go and camp on the beach and catch lots of fish and just have a wonderful time. So my dad was an old Boy Scout, and so he had a couple of these canvas tents, kind of just the kind of A-frame kind of things. So one he put up for us to sleep in. The other was, we called it our kitchen. That's where all the food and stuff was and the other things. And so I think we got there late in the day. We probably got some fishing in, but pretty quickly I had to set up camp and kind of went to bed. And about midnight, the biggest storm I can ever remember rolled in. Tons of wind just coming off the Gulf and just rain pounding, our tent got soaked. I mean, we were holding the tent pole in the middle to try to keep it from blowing over. I mean, and it went on, it seemed like it went on all night. Somehow we survived it and got up in the morning. We were still alive. The tent was still standing, at least ours was. The other one was blown down. And all I remember is that everything tasted like sand after that. Somehow I've just never had an itch to go camping on the beach again. What a wonderful, blessed, lucky camping trip, right? That's kind of how this text occurs. Blessed are you who are poor. Blessed are you who are hungry. Blessed are you who are weeping. Blessed are you when people hate you and revile you and defame you. Right. That is not our normal type blessing. That is not, when we think of blessed, we think of lots of money, we think of good health, we think of lots of children, we think of having a good life. That's what it means to be blessed, doesn't it? Well, apparently not in the kingdom of God. I intentionally chose the camping metaphor because true camping is what? Heading out into the wilderness. Sometimes, you know, you can camp in a way you kind of bring your whole house along, and so you may not really experience it. But if you're backpacking and really allowing yourself to get out there in the wilderness, something happens. And, I mean, like when we were talking about camping trips, we were talking about the weather. Oh, we don't want it too cold. Don't want it too hot. Oh, you know, it's not as good there at that time. But in the history of the church, in the history of God, God shows up in the wilderness. God shows up in those places where if we allow ourselves to be at the mercy of nature, something happens. Jesus did this when at the beginning of his ministry. He went out in the wilderness, it says, for 40 days and 40 nights. And he got hungry. He was tempted to, Satan was there tempting him to give in and just use all your power. Here, I'll give you the whole kingdom. You can have the most comfortable life ever. Jesus was truly tested as to what choice he would make as far as following God or giving in to, I would say, the indulgences of society, the indulgences of humankind. But he's not the only one. The Desert Fathers, mystics, year after year, century after century, have gone to the wilderness in order to, I was going to say find God, but certainly to experience God and to have a life-changing experience that launches them or continues to develop in them a depth of relationship with God that otherwise they didn't have. Why is that? Well, when you're really at the mercy of the elements, at the mercy of nature, at the mercy of whatever is going on, there is a reminder that God is God and you are not. In that context, then, when we look at, these are called the Lucan Beatitudes, at these blessings, that the blessing statements that Jesus gives, he talks about those who are hungry, those who are poor, those who mourn, and those who are hated. If you've ever really been poor, it's a wilderness experience. Knowing that you don't have the means to control your destiny, you may not even have the food you need. So also, when you're hungry, and especially when you mourn, even though you may gather with other people, mourning is inherently, it's such a lonely experience. In a time where you are confronted with the fact that you are not going to live forever, you're confronted with the fact that there's a limit to what you can control, you're confronted with the fact that God is God. It's not times that I wish on anybody. I wish people didn't die. I wish that people weren't hungry. I wish that people weren't poor. I wish that people didn't come after you if you tried to go against societal trends and stand up for what you believe in as far as life and faithfulness and health, the things that it so often can go sideways of what society is asking you to do. I wish that wasn't the case, but it is. What I can tell you is that in those times where we feel alone, where we are at the end of our abilities, where we know that we're not in control, that that is where the kingdom of God is. The kingdom of God is what? It is a place where God is king. The kingdom of God is a place where God is king. And when we are beat down, when someone close to us dies, we know that we're not the king of all or the queen of all. We know we don't have that kind of control. We know we're out in the wilderness, but who is in control, who we can put trust in, who is there waiting to hold us and nurture us and come to us more powerfully than ever, is the God of the universe. And the rule of God's kingdom, first and foremost, is love. If you allow those wilderness experiences to do their work, God shows up and changes you. And that change is always toward love. And so then the second part of today's gospel comes in. How far does this love extend? Well, God says it extends to your enemies. It extends to those who do you wrong, to those who strike you, those who hurt you. You're supposed to pray for them and do good for them, to love them. When we encounter this God of the universe, life begins to change in us. When life changes in us, it changes in the world. In the last few weeks, we've been journeying with Lauren Pepler as he's been approaching death. It was about a week ago that he decided that he wasn't able, or he was choosing not to go to any kind of extreme measures. The prognosis was not good. His body just was not able to sustain him much longer. And so he got off most of the medications, went into hospice, chose to accept his own finitude, his own mortality. And Wendy and Randy and Cindy, their daughters and daughter, son and daughter and daughter-in-law, it's a hard morning for them. It's a hard time. And they're not the only ones. If we look at these candles lit up here, there's been a lot of journey into the dark place this last year and of our lives. We all know someone who has died. And I don't wish that on anyone. But I do know this last week has been holy. As hard as it is to say goodbye, it was an incredible gift to walk with Lauren this last week. There was a sanctuary there at ICU at Rocky View. Then the sanctuary, a holy place, moved to Chinook Care Center. And in that moment, when there was nothing I could do, nothing he could do, nothing any of us could do, God showed up. There are theologians that talk about necessary pain and suffering. I've been in an argument with them for a while. I would so wish life was easy and that the depths of relationship with God were available when the going's good, when there is nothing wrong, and that it just kept going that way. But the hard truth is, God shows up in the pain and suffering. These lights attest to the people that have come before us, who have been models for us, who have been examples and vehicles of God's love to us. We light candles to remember them and the impact they had on our lives, and we give thanks. But we also light candles to remember that they are home now, and there will be a day for each of us when we get to go home, and there will be a party waiting for us. Lauren may even be singing in the choir. Along with our grandparents, our wives, our husbands. It'll be a good day. And it is a day we can count on. Because the rule in God's kingdom is love. And this God of love will never forsake us. It will never abandon us, no matter what may come.